Hi, and welcome to the Macro Show. We talk macro, and you wonder, can the manufacturing sector really predict a peak in stocks, treasury yields, and the CPI? More importantly, the question is, why should you be paying attention to the manufacturing sector data? Because it actually tells you those things with some reasonable accuracy. We've got that. We're going to take a look at how hedge fund managers are positioned in the futures market, plus Momentum Timer Pro update. So let's get back to our headline story. And the ISM Purchasing Managers Index comes out once a month, is really interesting because it's almost a fairly accurate proxy of the stock market. In fact, from a macro perspective, if you can learn to follow this, you're going to be on cycle more often than not. Because here's what the data says. When the headline ISM Manufacturing PMI, now, just so we all understand, if you're hearing this for the first time, this is a Purchasing Managers Index. This is a survey. So effectively, the Institute for Supply and Management goes out and surveys a bunch of purchasing managers, and then they have a monthly report. Now, when the headline PMI peaks, stocks peak usually within a month to 3 months. So it's really important. How about treasury yields? Well, if we talked about in the past, when the prices paid subcomponent peaks, well, treasury yields are going to peak within 3 months, sometimes immediately, but within 3 months. How about the broad CPI? Well, if you go and look at the prices paid subcomponent, on average, 2 months, peak of prices paid, peak of CPI. This is why this is so important. In fact, one of the most important data series you should follow, and why we're going to cover it. So let's take a look. Before we get into the ISM data itself, there was a whole bunch of other purchasing managers index from around the world. Let's get into the economic data. Look through that real quick just to give you a feel for it if you haven't heard this before. So look at that, and then we'll dig deeper into the ISM data and see if we can figure out how close we are to a peak. So let's start with going back to last night. We've got out of Australia the manufacturing PMI. And so just so we understand, a number over 50 is an expansion. The higher the number, the greater the expansion. 50 is unchanged. Below 50 is a contraction. So when we look at Australia, we see the prior month at 56.8, current at 59.7. What does that tell us? That the Australia manufacturing sector expanded at a faster rate than the month before. So this is good. This is showing that the manufacturing sector there is growing. How about we go to South Korea? I almost said North Korea. I don't think we get manufacturing PMIs from North Korea. And if we did, they'd probably be pretty bad. This is South Korea, the Nikkei manufacturing PMI for April. And so we went from 55.3 to 54.6. Now, what does this tell you? The manufacturing sector in South Korea expanded at a slightly slower rate. So one of the things you're also looking for is not only to identify the peaks, but try to catch as it's slowing down to where it hits those peaks and roll over. Now you might want to ask yourself is, why is there this 3 month window? Well, because when we actually look at a chart, you'll see it's kind of choppy. I mean, it's not a nice smooth, like maybe almost like a stock where it kind of goes up and down like a moving average. It can be rather jagged on its way up. And so you think about why would we need a 3 month range at a peak? Well, to make sure it was actually the peak is or why. So let's keep going on and we'll move into today's data. We've got here, German retail sales up 11%. I mean, this is huge. I imagine this is partially because the economy's reopening year over year, also some base effects from when they were shut down a year ago. Let's move into some more of these PMIs. So we've got Spain, 56.9 prior month, 57.7. So notice that it is expanding. The manufacturing sector in Spain is expanding at a faster rate, but not a lot faster. There's a little bit faster. So you notice the momentum is slowing down here, and that's really important. How about we go down to Italy, and we went from 59.8 to 60.7 in April. Again, similar story as Spain, and it's still expanding, but at a much slower pace. So the rate of expansion is slowing. What does that tell you? That a potential peak is nearing. How about we go to France and it went from 59.2 to 58.9. So still, again, it's expanding, but now at a slower rate. So the other one is expanding at a slightly faster rate. The rate of that expansion slowing. In France, the rate it now is expanding at a slower rate for sure. So you see 58 59.9 versus 59.2. Going on to Germany, a very slight difference, 66.4 to 66.2. Again, saying it's pretty much expanding at the same rate as before. So, you know, what you're looking for here is peaks, slowing trends, slow. You're just looking for what could be a top. How about the broad Eurozone, 63.3 to 62.9? Again, expanding at a slightly slower rate. Now let's take a look at the U.S. data. We've got the market. Now in the U.S. we have the market manufacturing PMI and then the ISM. Now the ISM is considered the quote unquote official. It is not a government statistics, but it is considered by the markets to be the gold standard of the two. Now the market manufacturing PMI comes out a little bit earlier in the morning, and it said we went from 60.6 to 60.5 in April, so we're expanding at effectively the same rate. So that momentum is dying, is slowing down. How about our friends in Canada? Well, 58.5 to 57.2. Again, what does that tell you? It's expanding at just a slightly slower rate. So the rate of that growth is slowing down. So you're seeing some indications that growth in the global manufacturing sector so far is looking like it's peaking. Some it's a little bit faster, some it's a little bit slower. Now let's move into the ISM data. And then, we got construction spending up 0.2%, a little over 5% year over year. But now let's get into the ISM data. And the manufacturing PMI went from 64.7 to 60.7. So now all of a sudden what you're seeing is the U.S. manufacturing sector, the growth is slowing. And the market generally doesn't like that because, again, you have to understand these PMIs are almost pretty close to a proxy for the equity market. Now, let's go dig deeper into that report, which we have here. You can get this from the ISM Institute for Supply Management, ismworld.org. And here we can see economic activity in the manufacturing sector grew in April, which it did, with overall economy notching 11th consecutive month of growth. Again, the key is the rate of growth was slower than the month before. So let's see if we've got, they have the history of this and where is this thing peaking at the moment? Well, it appears that it's peaked in March now at 64.7, which would tell us that the stock market should be peaking anywhere from 0 to 3 months. Now we know it didn't peak in March. Is it peaking now? Possibly. It doesn't mean it will. But now you're looking at a potential 3 month window if this 64.7 holds as the peak. Now, of course, next month it could jump way up. That is entirely possible. Do keep in mind the average for the last 12 months is 56.9. So it kind of tells you we're pretty high up here. Now let's go on and look at some of the other interesting bits of this. We've got new orders. 48.7% of firms reporting higher new orders. And the index here saying, peak in March. Again, at 68 versus 64.3 in April. So again, kind of another indicator that, you know, if you look at the equity market, that a peak is coming in next, either this month or the next couple months. How about overall production? Well, 44% of firms said higher production, but look at where the peak was in March. How about employment? 21% of firms reporting higher employment, but where was the peak? In March. You'll also kind of want to note here, do you remember when bond prices bottomed? Yeah, late March. So bond market kind of knows something's going on here. You know, the bond market is always a sayer of truth. How about supplier deliveries? And now this is something I want you to think about when we, you know, why is potentially the bond market bottoming in March when maybe it should be not yet? Because supplier deliveries, this is not normal. I mean, there's 53.9% of firms reporting slower supplier deliveries. The index did peak in March, but still very high here. Now normally supplier deliveries, you know, when the economy is just red hot, it would make sense because now you've got so much demand, you can't get goods from the factory to the consumer. The problem is the economy isn't red hot. The problem with supplier deliveries isn't just, you know, insane demand. We're still dealing with, you know, the after effects of the pandemic and the economy being shut down. So there is this component here, the bond market saying like, now, you know, we know the supplier deliveries are causing prices paid to go up, which we'll get to momentarily, but we know it won't last. And that's what the bond market is telling you. We know that the inflation from supplier deliveries is not going to hold. How about inventories? You see 18% of firms now reporting higher inventory. Notice that trend is slowing from March. Again, it peaked in March with a tie for January. How about customer inventories? That index has been going down since January from what we can see here. Customer inventories, 3.7% are reporting too high. About 50% reporting just about right. Here we go. Prices paid. Now remember, prices paid tells us where the CPI is likely to peak and where yields are likely to peak. But I remember, keep in mind as we look at this, that the supply part is a factor in the prices paid. I mean, we know that suppliers are charging more. So this 80% of firms reported higher prices. That is crazy. This index put in nearly a 89.6. Here's a chart I grabbed off of Twitter today. And check this out. If you go back to the 1970s, this is the third highest print in history. So if you're looking for where a peak might be, wow, this is a pretty good indication of what that is. And the bond market already knew that some of this was built in due to the supplier deliveries. And so the last peak was in February. Now we're seeing in April where the bond market peak in March. So the bond market is telling us, look, and we're not worried about prices paid going up here because we know this is not going to last. It's transitory. It's not real inflation. And that tells us that the CPI should be peaking depending on either where the real peak is at. You know, whether it's February or April, tells us the CPI is likely to peak in April or May, which would be consistent with what we know. Backlog and new orders. You really want to know where inflation is coming from? This is backlog and new orders. That's where when you see massive backlogs in order, that is where there's demand from inflation. 44% of firms reporting higher backlog of orders. The index looks to be at its highest point in the last 4 months. Whether this is a peak or not, we don't know, but that's pretty high. And how about new export orders? And we're seeing that is at its second, or tied for its highest level in the last 4 months. Imports are down. So that if you're seeing fewer imports, that would kind of expect that the demand is falling. And one of the ways we know all of this kind of adds up, and this is a chart provided by my buddy Julian Biddle, and he sent over, and this is not, you know, we've seen this before, it's not updated, but we see where ISM prices paid peak. You see where treasury yields are peaking right before prices paid peak, or right after, right in that zone. So it tells us that yields are likely to peak. And we know based on the overall ISM data where the equity market is soon likely to peak. And we know the CPI is also likely to peak. So really useful data there. And I hope that's something you'll start to follow on a monthly basis as well. And now let's take a look at how hedge fund managers are positioned. And why do we look at where hedge fund managers are positioned? Because these futures contracts are very, very leveraged. They can put a lot of muscle for not a lot of dollar. So that's what we're kind of curious to see how their positioning is. Let's take a look at that and see what's going on there. And we see on the 10-year there, they are now net positive. In terms of being a bottom of yields, you want to see it when hedge fund managers are really long, not here, but way up here, that's where you're going to find more of a bottom in treasury. So we've got a ways to go there. How about the 30-year virtually? Yeah, they went slightly more net short, but overall last few weeks, pretty much unchanged. Again, you want to see a bottom in yields. You want to see hedge fund managers long the bond market. They're still well net short, as are the CTA and quant models as we looked at last week. How about crude oil? Unchanged from last week for the most part, as crude is pushing higher. The market really wants higher crude to validate inflation. What it needs is demand to come with it. And as long as it gets demand, it's got a shot at it. How about the S&P 500? Hedge fund managers remain net short as markets continues to kind of grind higher. Looking at the euro, unchanged over last week, but the week before we noticed a big jump, kind of pushed the dollar back down a little bit. And so the euro, you know, been trending lower. Speculative positions on the long side are backing out, which would suggest that at some point that's going to lend to the dollar moving higher. How about gold? A lot of people still super bullish on gold. as speculators are saying, we're not as bullish as before. They're backing off their longs a little bit. Again, this, you know, continues to put more downward pressure on gold than upward, especially as it ran into resistance again today. Hedge fund manager remains slightly net short the NASDAQ and still net short the Russell 2000 and slightly long the dollar, virtually unchanged from the week before, maybe slightly less bullish than they were, but not much, as the dollar is trying to put in a bottom here. Still not confirmed, but still is still working its way there. And how about volatility or VIX futures? And you see still a fairly large, not the largest and not the second largest, but still a fairly large short position saying that hedge fund manager not worried about downside risk of the equity market. Now let's take a look at the commitment of traders report, which is where this data is pulled from by Hedgeopia. And some of the things I find interesting is that dealers still are heavily net short bonds, and they don't have a big inventory. You know, we looked at their inventory, it's not huge, but they added, you know, on the treasury bonds, they added, you know, almost 11,000 contracts short, and on the ultra 30-year, they added almost a little over 19,000, almost 19,500, and 2 years, they added to that. 10 years, they reduced their short position a little bit, but they have a massive short position. And so even on the ultra 10-year, they added to their contracts. In 5 years, they added big time, almost 15,500 contracts. So, you know, dealers are still very, very short, and there's still a huge amount of short interest seen on the bond market that will lead eventually to yields going down, where's our arrow down, as a lot of these short positions eventually get unwound because, you know, you start looking at the factory data, you start looking at bond prices, and you say, hey, yeah, there's definitely a change going on here that the market hasn't really figured out yet. But when it does, or at least investors and speculators haven't figured out that when they do, all of a sudden, all this massive short position against the bond market gets released, financial conditions tighten, bond prices rally. Now, quick update on Momentum Timer Pro. I just spent some time over the weekend. I still don't have permission to give out these copies yet. And we're still working through that on compliance. And what I've done is I've moved it into more of a macro newsletter. Here, check a look at this. So here's kind of the working version of it now. Instead of having daily, weekly, monthly, we've gone to monthly, quarterly, biannual. It's more macro now than the other report, which it wasn't really useful on a daily signal or maybe even a weekly, but on the monthly, quarterly, and biannual, it's a lot more useful report. And now it only changes color when something does change. So you can kind of get an idea of where positions are at. And I removed the inverse funds because there's no way you would trade an inverse fund on a biannual signal. There's no reason you would ever do that. So you can see a few positions change. This updates daily, which is pretty cool. And then I added position sizing for those who would be looking at, you know, following a 3 month signal. It gives you an idea, you know, should you have a position? Should it be a small position? There's some mins in here somewhere, mid-size or a maximum position. Obviously max would not be an all in, it would just be max relative to how big of a position you're willing to take. And then it also has a 6 month size position for those looking for, you know, a longer trend, less risk, more certainty of entering a position, does the same thing. So we'll continue to work with compliance to get their permission to, you know, at least publish the report. I want to give it away for a while, let you play with it, get a feel for it. So how did we do today with the show? Pretty good. What did we learn? We learned the ISM factory data is telling us stock market is within potentially months of peaking. Maybe it's going to peak this month. The bond market is likely bottomed out, yields have peaked, and the CPI within a month or two of peaking. So there you go. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back Wednesday for the macro show. Got some interesting stuff coming for that as well. Thanks for watching. And as always, be sure to hit the thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed, we'd love to have you as a fan, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only, is not intended to provide investment or other advice. Material is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by a selling security, financial instrument, or to participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Personal capacity, opinions expressed in this video do not reflect the view of Alice Financial Advising or Steve Van Meter Financial.